Hello, you're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I'm Laura Evans and this is the Brighton Business Show, broadcasting monthly. You can hear from local entrepreneurs, find out about schemes you could be taking advantage of, hear about events you might want to attend and pick up tips from business experts. Our sponsor is Entrepreneurial Spark, powered by NatWest. And on today's show, we've got the elevator pitch. We've got two local businesses taking on the challenge. Sophie Turton's Mega Marketing Tips. This month, she is joined by guest Tim Morris, talking copywriting for SEO. Sarah Harvey is updating us on what's going to happen with the Snow Dogs. Mike Wardle and Warren Carter tell us what business in the community is doing to connect businesses to causes. And we hear from the show's new sponsor, Entrepreneurial Spark. Right, let's get going with some news. What's going on in Brighton? Done something interesting? Want to shout about it? Get in touch. Give me a tweet at Laura of Brighton. Brighton is getting a fleet of solar-powered buses, the first of their kind in the UK. The Big Lemon with Brighton Energy Co-op is converting 10 diesel buses to run on electricity, which will be provided by solar panels on their East Brighton depot. They won the M&S Community Energy Fund just recently out of a shortlist of 125 projects, adding over £28,000 to the pot of funding they have. And congratulations, Martin Sill Solicitors, who have won the Law Society Excellence in Business Development Award. The Law Society Award recognised that the firm's innovative legal care offering benefited care professionals as well as the vulnerable and elderly they serve. The Living Wage campaign in Brighton and Hove celebrated Living Wage Week by announcing that over 300 businesses have now signed up to pay employees a fair and decent wage. Sign up at livingwagebrighton.co.uk. Platform 9 will be opening a new collaborative shared workspace and offices for rent on North Road. See platform-9.com for more information and more on that in future shows. Are you feeling crafty this Christmas? Homage are running some workshops including concrete mould making on December the 1st and the basics of weaving on the 14th. See homageonline.co.uk/workshops. Or go check out the North Lane pub. Every Tuesday they have pottery workshops, so you basically won't need to buy any presents this year because you can just make them. And really exciting news, the Skylight restaurant gets planning approval. Mashimo will be building an incredible floating restaurant over their current site. It will sit on an elevator shaft and balance the other end on one of the surrounding buildings around the square, 7 floors up. So basically a spaceship restaurant. It looks amazing. Nice one, owners Carl and Nikki. There are a number of different ways you can get involved with the show. Check out the radio page on my website for all the details. That's at lauraofbrighton.co.uk. The show is being broadcast on 97.2 FM DAB Radio, online via radioreverb.com, or catch up via the podcast on iTunes or laura-brighton.podomatic.com. Please do subscribe, never miss out. And if you're listening on iTunes, you'll be doing me a big favour if you can give me a nice rating.
Radio Reverb is Brighton's radio station, entirely run by volunteers and firmly rooted in the city's community.
We are a non-profit organisation. No adverts, no disc jockeys, just real people.
Making radio that Brighton deserves.
So it's time for the elevator pitch. Can you pitch your business in a minute? So can you explain who you are, what you do and why anyone should care? That's basically your elevator pitch. And it's kind of a big deal because you're going to be breaking it out at networking events all the time. And I'm joined today by two local businesses to take on the elevator pitch. They've got 1 minute. They're going to do really great. So, number one, mystery guest. Are you ready?
I am.
Ready, set, Go.
My name's Nick. I'm from the SussexHamperCompany.com. We're often in and around Sussex, and over the years have discovered some amazing producers, you know, wine, beer, chocolate and liqueurs, things like that. We wanted our hampers to be a bit special, so we have a really stylish handmade wooden box, and also the larger wicker-style boxes. And boxes are given as gifts. We have personalised silver jewellery, accessories and some really cool handmade leather items, like moleskin notebook covers, iPad cases, and they're all handmade in Sussex. We knew we'd have a lot of interest in the corporate side because it's really hard finding gifts for clients that are professional yet have a personal touch, so we wanted to fill that gap. We've also put a lot of thought into different types of hampers, like dairy or gluten-free, alcohol-free and some great martini and liqueur boxes. As Sussex is famous for wine, of course we have included plenty of choice in our hampers, but you won't find any of our wines in the supermarket. They're all from smaller vineyards that won international awards.
Are you done?
I am.
That was good timing. You were spot on.
Well, it was really quick. Did anyone understand that?
Yes. Yes, it did. Wow. I did understand that. So we'll have a little chat, more of a chat with you in a second. Right. Mystery guest number two. Let's get you ready. Nick, you're sighing in relief.
I am, yes.
I might be a little bit short, actually.
Let me get my knobs right. Ready, steady, go.
Hi, my name is Victoria and I'm a part of the team at Wave Live Life. We run local leisure centres in Seaford, Newhaven, Peacehaven and Lewis. We offer a wide range of activities, including a fantastic student membership for only £22.95 per month. This includes unlimited gym, swimming and classes for all of our centres and one-to-one appointments with a fully qualified instructor to design a personalised programme and check your progress. Not only exercise is good for your overall health and fitness, it also boosts your mental well-being. Our vision is to inspire active lifestyles and to be the heart of the improvement of health and well-being in our communities. Please visit our website waveleisure.co.uk for more info. Thank you.
got any deals you want to talk about?
Okay, we have
five.
A fantastic Christmas and Santa market experience at Newhaven Fort.
Nice. Okay. Tell us about your Christmas thing that's going on.
Okay, so we've got Christmas Santa experience at Newhaven Fort, which runs on the 10th to the 11th of December and on the 17th and 18th. Market pitches are only £10 for all 4 days. We have further info and market pitch which you can inquire on our waveleisure.co.uk website. We're offering food, gifts, crafts, mulled wine and delicious mince pies.
Am I going to meet Santa?
You are indeed.
Am I going to be able to sit on his knee?
You can indeed.
No, I'm just sounding
girl.
Like a creep. I think you should probably just ban me.
No, come along.
Brilliant. So, and also, Nick, you must be really busy at the moment. This must be a busy time of year for you.
Christmas is always going to be a busy time. Yeah. Obviously, there are celebrations through the year, but Christmas is definitely the main one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's going to be a really busy time.
And this business has come about from your previous business, Finn and Farm.
That's right. Yeah. About 8 years ago, we started a company called Finn and Farm, which is local produced produce to people's homes and also commercial kitchens. So we deliver to a lot of restaurants and pubs, but also people's homes. So we're always looking for new produce to come through.
But this has been a new launch, and you had kind of an exciting launch at a vineyard, didn't you?
A Nutbourne vineyard. Yeah, we had a nice launch there.
Bust people up in a vintage bus, they could get nice and drunk.
That's right, yeah. Not me, though.
No, you're working hard.
That's right.
But it's, like you say, it can be difficult approaching corporate gifts, and it's nice that you can support the local community as well.
Well, that's right. I mean, it wasn't until we did this that we even realised that there was a leather maker in Hove.
Really?
Yeah, a guy called Wolfram, a German guy who completely bonkers, but absolutely loves what he does and is very good at it. And he actually also makes the straps that we use to hold the hampers together.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, he's a great guy, and he really knows what he's doing.
I feel like he was born to be a leather worker with a name like that.
That's right, yeah. What else could you do?
And, Victoria, I bet you're going to be busy in the new year, aren't you?
We are indeed. It's a great time to rejoin your gyms after that Christmas period.
We all know what you mean there.
We do, yeah, all those mince pies and all those mulled wines. So yeah, we do great other memberships, including a max membership for adults. That again, it gives you unlimited gym, swim and classes through all of our centres at discounted rates, with personalised programmes to help check your progress throughout the year.
I mean, we all want to hibernate a little bit at this time of year, don't we? But it feels, I'm an avid, maybe obsessive gym goer.
Okay, brilliant.
It does make people feel good.
So. It does, yeah. It's really good for your mental health and well-being.
Yeah. So just again, what's your website if people want to find out?
That's waveleisure.co.uk.
And Nick, what's yours?
The Sussex Hamper Company.co.uk.
Excellent. Check out the show copy and I'll put links to the websites there. Nick, Victoria, thank you very much for coming in.
Okay, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to Radio Reverb on 97.2 FM, DAB Radio, or online at radioreverb.com. This is the Brighton Business Show, sponsored by Entrepreneurial Spark. I'm Laura Evans. I'm joined in the studio by Sarah Harvey to update us on the Snow Dogs. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
How are the Snow Dogs doing?
Well, they're doing well. They've been on the streets now for 8 weeks. We've got one more week to go, and they're doing very well.
They've just been awesome. They're so cool.
They have.
I do want to climb on them. I know you're not meant to, but...
Do you know one thing? With hindsight, yes. Unfortunately, our dogs, it does sort of... I think the shape of our dogs, unfortunately, is encouraging people to want to climb. But we've done our best to stop them. And I think, as a city, we're looking after our dogs, which is good.
I think next time, just put up a range of climbing frames.
Yes.
But you've got 44 snow dogs and also the snow pups.
Yeah, that's
around
right.
Brighton. What a big job, like... You've done quite a lot of stuff around them as well. Like you've had a run and tell me about some of the things that have been around it, because it's not just the sculptures, it's like the app and things like that.
Do you know, it has been a mammoth task. As a team, we've been working on this for about a year, and we're quite a small team at the Martlet, so it has been a challenge, as you can imagine, just getting 44 dogs onto the streets, on a concrete plinth, into position. We've got a bunch of amazing sponsors in businesses that have supported our campaign. We've got artists that we've managed to convince to paint their dogs and have done an incredible job. So there has been lots and lots of relationships that we've built and lots of logistics. We have run a programme of fundraising events as well, which has been brilliant. So during the trial, we had Pooches on the Prom, which was a big sponsored dog walk. We had 80 people with their dogs walking along the prom on a sunny day, which was chaos in parts, but brilliant in most. We also had a snow dog dash. So yes, there's been lots of activity.
It's been very exciting, and they look fantastic. And they're such an interesting part of Brighton. Do you think it would be something that you'd do again in future? I mean, maybe take a year off and then do it.
I think it's too soon. It's too soon to... I think we're going to be asked that question. So we've got another week left, and we've then got our farewell event and auction. And I think once the dust settles, I think that conversation needs to start. I think the city would love us to have something else. Probably not snow dogs again, but it would be nice to repeat.
So people need to get involved now before it's too late. So I need to get down to one of your Martlet shops and buy one of the little... You do the little dogs that you can buy. They're like... What are they like?
So we've got little figurines. So little sort of China versions, figurine versions. Oh, there's about five of them. So we've got five of our dogs that you can buy as a little souvenir. Churchill Square have been brilliantly generous to us and they've donated us space. So we've got a little pop-up shop in Churchill Square with a team of volunteers. So the figurines are available there, or you can go obviously into one of the Martlet shops.
Your five top dogs...
They are. Well, I don't know. They are. It's hard to choose. It would be like for me choosing a child to choose a favourite snow dog, to be honest. So, you know, it's really hard. There are, I think everyone has their sort of, preferred snow dog.
But. Yeah, because you've got your local snow dogs. Mine are all at the marina. Mm. They're my local ones. But there are very cool ones all over the place. And I think people, have become quite protective over them as well. They're like, there's been a little bit of graffiti and people have jumped in there and been like, oh, how dare they touch our snow dogs? They're our snow dogs. They're Brighton snow dogs.
Do you know, it's been interesting. So we've had two dogs that have had damage, but of 44, to be honest, I don't think that's bad. So Dudley, bless him, who was just in St. Peter's Church, he's just gone off the tram actually a little bit early because he suffered a little bit of graffiti early on. And I think he's been sat on a few times. There's a few cracks in his back. So he was in danger of just collapsing, really. So we thought it would be safer just to take him off the trail now. And he's gone down to Garth, down at Bright Marina, who generally works on boats. But he obviously works with fiberglass and he's able to fix Dudley. So he was quite excited to receive Dudley this morning. A bit of a different job for him. So yes, we have had some damage, but in the main, people, you're right, are looking after them. I think they're taking them as part of the community, and there is that real kind of protect the pack and look after our dogs.
I mean, they're beautiful, and they cover quite a wide range of like space, like as in geographically, they're proper spread out, aren't they? Like, you know, it's quite a fun. I've seen lots of people doing the trails and going around with the maps and using the app to like tick off all the snow dogs they've got. It's a good game.
It is. It's a great game. I think Pokemon helped us in the summer. You know, it's almost our own version of. We've had 8,000 downloads of the app, which is brilliant.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And the social around this has been incredible. And obviously for the martlets, what a wonderful way of, you know, promoting us and what we do and raising money. Because what we've tried to promote, although this is obviously a free trail, but we've try to encourage that text donate message. So we've had on most of our communications a text £3 and donate back to the martlets, and that's done really well. So we have bought in during the campaign a good few thousand pounds for martlets, which is fab. But then the big part of the fundraising will be the auction. So that's the next step.
So before we just talk about the next couple of events, just for anyone who's listening and they're not sure of what the martlets is, tell us what you do.
So the martlets, we're a hospice. We're based over in Hove. We've got 18 beds. We provide care for terminal people suffering from terminal illness and living through terminal illness. And that can be the last few weeks, but actually it's often a lot longer than that, that we provide care. It's care for the patient, but also the whole family. And then it can move on to practical care. It can be advice, legal advice. Also, we offer bereavement counselling as well. We have a team of nurses that go out to homes. So that's another part of what we do. So it's not just in the hospice. We also have a community team. So there's choice. We do get funding from the NHS. It costs about £5 million to operate every year. And £4 million of that we have to fundraise for. So the support of our community is everything to us. And we are lucky. We've got a very generous city in Brighton and Hove, and obviously this campaign is going to have a real impact on the fundraising that we do.
So not only are people getting to get involved with something artistic, cool, fun, have a little like figurine or a huge figurine, we're going to get onto that in a second, but they're also helping a really worthy local charity as well. And especially this time of year, people should be, you know, have a little think about that and do something good, spread the love. So you've got the farewell. What's that?
So what we are doing, the next couple of weeks are going to be busy. So we've got another week of Dogs on the Trail. And then on the 27th, which is next Sunday, we will be taking them all in. Rendezvous Casino have got a huge warehouse at the back of their building in the marina, and that's our kennel. So we're going to take them all back there, where we'll spend a week with the artists restoring our dogs. So they'll all be touched up. We will re-varnish them. They'll be back to tip-top condition, groomed, if you will. And then on the 4th and 5th of December, so that's Sunday and Monday, we've got a big farewell event. We're working with the Corn Exchange, and that's our venue. So it's an opportunity to see all the dogs together. I think it'd be quite a spectacle, really, if you can imagine all of them in one place. And I think everyone has their favourite. People may have missed a dog along the way. This is your opportunity to get those last selfies and bag the dog, perhaps, that you didn't see. And as a family, maybe choose which one is your favourite. Tickets are available now. They're going quite quickly, actually. So they're £5 for adults, £3 for kids, and you can buy them via the Dome box office. So either trot into the box office or obviously via the website.
So there's going to be limited numbers. People need to get in there.
They do. It's going well. It's really going well. So it's a timed event because we think we want to get as many people through the door. So you can buy a slot. I think we thought it would be a 45-minute, an hour, kind of through, see all the dogs. But yes, a lot of the Sunday slots are starting to sell out, so I would get in quick.
Brilliant. And then you're going to be auctioning them off.
Yes. So that's obviously, from a charity, from our point of view, this is one of the most important parts of the campaign. On the 6th of December, we have our auction. We've had lots and lots of interest, and we hope we're going to raise lots and lots of money. other Wild in Art events. We're working with a Wild in Art in partnering in this, and they've produced events like this in other cities. And it looks like, you know, sculptures can sell for £5,000-6,000 and more. So we're hoping to, you know, achieve those sort of amounts, but we'll see.
That would be great. And for the home or garden?
Yes, I mean, where they end up. We've had some very curious questions. We've got lots of people at the moment approaching us for tickets. And yes, I've had lots of interesting questions about, will he fit through this door? Could he get onto my roof terrace? Oh,
I love that. They're already measuring up.
Yes.
For the dogs. There's going to be competition.
Yes.
I'd love to come along and just watch.
I think it's going to be quite a spectacle. And it. Yeah. So we're really excited.
And I hope companies who are listening might be interested in having one of the snow dogs in their offices, because how cool would that look? And then it's what a story to tell people when they come into your office. Like, where did this giant dog come from that is covered in amazing mirrors or fur or...
Well, it's part of the... You're right. You're almost buying into the legacy of the snow dog. We've all seen the impact it's had on our city, and it's had such a positive response from the community. So I think you're right, if a business was to buy a dog, it's almost buying part of that legacy. So it will be interesting. It's the first time we've done it. We're not really sure who's going to buy them, but a number of the sponsors have expressed an interest. We've got quite a few people that have come forward and asked to come along and are interested in bidding. So Norman Cook's going to be there, so who knows, he might want to buy his...
Banging the hammer.
He might want to buy Boomer back, his dog down at the cafe. I don't know. I did hear that he was interested in disco dogs, so, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
I'm going to have to come along, because I just think it sounds cool. And, you know, I've loved them. They've been great. And thank you so much for coming in before the campaign and telling us about it and then coming back to update us. Please, if you do anything else... You've got to come in. Give us the
scoop. Shall I?
Scoop.
Yeah, I will. I'll keep you posted. And it's great to have your support. And I mean, as I say, we've been just delighted with the support of this city. Businesses have really come forward and supported us all the way along. And, you know, I think together it's been a very collaborative campaign.
And congratulations to you and your marketing team on such an imaginative, interesting, fun campaign. I can't even imagine how hard you've worked on this. You must all be exhausted.
We're all looking forward to the 7th of December.
Great. Well, just again, what's your website for anyone who wants to find out a bit more?
So for the farewell event and for auction details, if you go to snowdogsbythesea.co.uk, and you'll find all about the campaign.
Brilliant. Sarah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Connect with us on social media and spread the word.
Shout out to your favourite shows.
On Twitter at Radio Reverb. Or join our Facebook group and message our community. Just search for Radio Reverb.
Spread the word.
So the show has a new sponsor, it's Entrepreneurial Spark, and I spoke to Fiona Anderson to find out what that's all about.
NatWest are in partnership with Entrepreneurial Spark, which is a social enterprise working with entrepreneurs to help them grow and scale their business. So what the bank does is we actually open up our premises and provide free office space to the entrepreneurs with access to free Wi-Fi, but it is actually a program of enablement and coaching. So the entrepreneurs benefit from having an enabler or a coach who works with them to really challenge them around growing and scaling their business. So it's a six-month program. The entrepreneurs can come and join us for 6 months at a time. There is the opportunity to stay on for a further 12 months. If you really are engaged in the program and your business is really growing and scaling, you have that opportunity to actually benefit from up to 18 months worth of coaching and enablement. We do also accept people who have just got an idea. So even if it is just an idea, try and give as much information about that. Who would your customer be? Who would actually buy your product? How do you intend to get your product to market? If you have already got a business, what kind of traction have you made with that business? How many customers have you had? What kind of impact have you had with your business? So try and put as much information as you can in the application so that when we're reading through them, we really spot the ones that we are wanting to interview, because we do get over 200 applications for each intake. So it's quite competitive. It's all free, free access to our phones, Wi-Fis, printers. There's free tea and coffee as well. But yeah, at the end of the day, there is still that requirement for an engagement in the program, and you need to be seen to be growing your business in some kind of way. So we really want to be working with businesses that are going to be making an impact. We also work very closely with helping them with investment. So we open up the bank's contacts in that regard. So for some of our customers, or we also have some of our wealth divisions within the bank, where we've got people who are wanting to invest in startup businesses. Just this month, we've had one of our businesses who was pitching for 250 grand's worth of investment has managed to raise 150 just through one of the investors that I've actually introduced her to from our contact base. There's another two of the businesses that have also raised, between them have raised £150,000 of investment, which is, they're almost kind of closing their round now, which is significant for them because they've actually managed to launch their new websites, to actually take on new staff and really, really grow their business and make a huge impact, which is all vital for the Brighton economy as well. So for us to choose to sponsor the show, it was really all about getting the word out to the local Brighton community about really the support that the bank and Entrepreneurial Spark are giving to entrepreneurs and to start-up businesses. And I felt it was the ideal way really for us to do it through sponsoring your show. Everything is on the Entrepreneurial Spark website, entrepreneurial-spark.com. The application window is open at the moment. Our next intake will be in February next year. They can also register for a tour if they wanted to come along and see what the hatchery space is all about. Yeah, so I would really encourage any Brighton Sparks who are out there to please apply. And yeah, would wish anybody luck who does apply, and hopefully we'll see quite a lot of people in the hatchery next year.
My name's Matt Humphrey. I am CEO of Curtain Call Limited. We have built an online social networking and jobs platform for the theatre industry.
And my name is John Schwab. I'm the COO of Curtain Call Limited.
We've had quite a pivot. John approached me with the idea 2 years ago to produce a photographic book of backstage in London theatre. What we've done now is to create a social networking platform, which is a website and will be an app. So it's been quite a pivot from the original idea. But Entrepreneurial Spark has really helped us to focus in and work on what is going to be the most beneficial idea for the business and what is going to be the quickest route to market.
Matt and I kind of come from a theatre world. Matt, a photographer, very artistic, very creative. So to come from that to run a business, I mean, the first time you have to pitch in 60 seconds is scary. The 10-minute pitch is scary. You quickly find out that the scariest thing is not knowing your business. If somebody asks you a question, you don't know the answer, that's kind of a real frightening thing, which here is quite good because you're surrounded by like-minded people who may ask you a question just off the cuff like that. Those moments become less and less kind of frightening and less intense in number as well.
Yeah, it really is a community as well. It's great being around like-minded individuals because it really accelerates you as a person, which I think is what Entrepreneurial Spark really focus on is growing the person within the business. It's almost by osmosis that being around other people that aren't necessarily, you know, natural born business people, but are entrepreneurial in nature has really helped us to work out the best thing for the business, basically.
This is a baby that Matt and I have. Does that sound rotten?
I don't know if I can say. You
know, this is a child analogy. We have born into the world, and we're proud of it. And I think just to take that and be, actually, that's something else, just to be very proud of what we've achieved. You know, it takes a brave person to say, I'm starting a business, judge it, fund it, help us grow. So I think it's just kind of, yeah, just breathe and be proud.
There's nothing that's easy about running a business. The easy bit is coming up with the idea, I guess. You know, the hard part is the execution, which is why this place is brilliant, because it really supports you and shows you that other people have done it, that it is possible, that you can do it.
You know, go for it. If you don't get a yes if you don't ask, and you won't get a no either, but you definitely will not get a yes. So if you have an idea, if you have something you're passionate about and you feel like building it, just put it out there. You have to put it out in the ether. Yeah.
This is Radio Reverbs, the Brighton Business Show, sponsored by Entrepreneurial Spark. I'm Laura Evans. Tweet me at Laura of Brighton. You're listening to 97.2 FM. Or maybe on DAB Radio, online at radioreverb.com or via podcast. In the studio now, I have Mike Wardle and Warren Carter. We're talking about business in the community. Hello.
You all right?
Hi, Laura.
How's it going?
Yeah, very good, thanks.
Mike, let's start with you. Tell us about what business in the community is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a business connector working in Brighton and Hove for a year, 12 months a comment from Lloyds Banking Group, and I have to say it's the best job in the world, it really is. It's part of the Prince of Wales Responsible Business Network. So you know all the stuff, great stuff that Prince of Wales does, but never actually really realised that he was so involved in the business side as well.
Yeah, because you've it's interesting. You've come from the banking sector, working in the city kind of thing, and this big corporate world to doing this and doing these incredible projects.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's something that Lloyds Banking Group helped sponsor from that perspective. They put, I think, something like 10 to 12 senior people, they call it senior talented people, a year onto this. So I feel blessed from that perspective that they selected me. But it's great, and it's something that I really wanted to put back into the community and work with the community. I've sort of lived and worked in and around Brighton, and as you say, you know, London as well, and teams all around the country. So it's nice to come back to Brighton for a year and put something back in, really, from that perspective.
And quite exciting that you've worked with a lot of different kinds of companies. And like you say, you're a connector. So what is it you're doing with the businesses? And
yeah, so it's as it says on the tin, Laura, it's very much about connecting business and the community together. So that can mean absolutely anything, really, and it's great. You know, I go around drinking lots of coffee with people and talking to them, writing stuff down in my little green book. And at some point, what I find then is, you know, offers of help that people have made and requests from sort of community organisations actually come together. And, you know, I've got some brilliant examples of what we've done over the last 7 months.
And we've got one of those in the studio.
We have.
Warren, how are you
doing?
Hi,
yeah, I've never been described as an example before.
Tell us about what you do.
Well, I'm chairman of Bevy Pub, which is the first cooperative pub on a housing estate in the UK. It's based in Moorscombe. It's 2 years old in December. And that's voluntary. It's all voluntary, so it ain't my paid job.
Mm. And what is the Bevy like? It's this community...
The community raised the money. We raised 210 grand to reopen it. That it was closed for five years, and we realised that, it, you know, there was a threat of it becoming student housing. And we wanted something for the people of Moorscombe and Bevendean, because it might only be a mile from the city centre, but it might as well be in Scunthorpe. So there's nothing around that area. We realised we wanted to reopen the pub, but it had to be so much more than just a pub. So it's bit like a back to front community centre. It's obviously got a pub and it sells food, but there's just this massive wide range of groups and activities that happen throughout the day and evening to make it something really special, I reckon, and a blueprint of how pubs can survive in the future.
So hopefully we would see this repeated in other communities, and like what you've done. And
yeah, I mean, I think there's 40 cooperative pubs around the country, but they're all on the whole in quite posh areas. There's one, The Star, in Salford. There's one in London, which is quite trendy Brighton type thing. So we're the first, and we made lots of massive mistakes. And actually, someone like Mike coming along and helping us has been, you know, he's helped us on practical levels, but also getting advice and things, because I think we were so... it took us 5 years to raise the money and reopen, and it was totally, utterly exhausting. So when we finally did open, we thought we were the bee's knees, and actually we were community activists trying to run a business. Well, there's two very different things there. So we made lots of mistakes, but in a way that's quite good. It didn't feel like it at the time, but we also realised that we need business support to make it successful. We want to, you know, it's a cooperative pub. We want to do good things for our community, but we also want to make money. We don't want to close. We don't want to rely on grants. We want it to be really, really busy and eventually be able to plough those profits back into our local community.
So Mike's not just setting people up, like businesses and community groups together, but also acting as like an advisor, a business advisor, a guide.
Yeah, I think that was probably a spin-off, really, because Mike was introduced to me one crazy night on a Friday. I think there was a band playing, and we knew our manager was leaving for France, so I sort of popped in my head and said, well, can you help us find a new manager? Because, you know, we haven't got a big HR department. In fact, we haven't got a HR department. So, you know, just even the factors. So, all, you know, we've got paid staff. We've got manager, deputy manager, you know, like all our bar staff are on a living wage and stuff like that. But all our the volunteers, you know, you've got full-time jobs, you've got families. And then on top of that, to go, right, let's go for the process of just, you know, sifting through, well, putting the word out stuff. So Mike come along just at the right time. Managed to find us a company that would do the adverts, vet and stuff like that. Basically, what are they called again? Should give them a plug.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we teamed up with a Brighton Chamber of Commerce member called You Search and Select. So that was Robert Kenwood, who gave his time as Warren says there, absolutely free. And he did all of the job spec, wrote a brilliant job spec, didn't he, Warren, from that perspective? Did all of the initial interviews on Skype. We had probably 12 to 15 people interested in it. And then he then handed over a sort of short list of three people, which we then took to a second interview, and a couple of the committee members and myself interviewed those people.
So businesses can get involved by giving some time, or I guess giving some money, but I think really there's so much great experience, isn't there, that people could bring to these community groups?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I think it's, you know, exactly what you say there about time and money, but I think it's also about using their skills and offering their skills as well. That's what really helpful. You know, that example that Warren just gave there was, you know, a professional recruitment firm giving their professional advice and help from that perspective. So yeah, lots more of that. You know, let's link more of the community with the business world from that perspective.
And I think, from my point of view, is like Moorscombe and Bevendean, probably a bit like Hangleton and stuff, are really forgotten bits of Brighton. You know, Brighton really is quite smug and thinks it's amazing. And I go to these award ceremonies and it's like, oh look, the organic Wales Society won this and stuff, but actually there's loads of really good things going on in the poorer communities. You know, there was just a report last week from the Sussex Community Foundation, and it, you know, the some of the poorest areas in Sussex are in Moorscombe, Bevendean, Whitehawk and that. So there's really massive social problems. So they, and actually, but you've also got a city that quite thinks it's fantastic and alternative and that, but actually doesn't really care much about the estates, and probably the estates don't really care about the middle of town. And you know, and living there, you know, I've only just recently moved, my kids go to school there, and my governor and things at the local primary school, you can see there's a, you know, people on the estate stay on the estate. It's £5 on a bus to come into town. It's very expensive. They won't go to the Brighton Fringe. Brighton Fringe doesn't go to Moorscombe. So we were like, actually we want to put these things on. But we also feel that the business community, if it really, really cares, especially the cooperative side of the community, then they should be using the bevy. And again, Mike's been fantastic because, you know, he brought up the Chamber of Commerce. And I must admit, you know, this is my prejudice. I legged it off work, come to see, you know, I was looking around from where are these old bald guys that are going to be in the Chamber of Commerce. And there's these two, like, 20-year-old women. And I was like, you know, I'm not being rude, you were not what I was expecting. And again, I mean, that, you know, and I talked about these things, and we've got an event lined up and stuff. And again, for us, it is about getting businesses to use. You know, we've got a really amazing space, and it's free parking outside and things like that. And we're really competitive, but we're also a cooperative. So we always say to businesses, if you really think we're great, well, support us. Do you know what I mean? Because this money, you know, it's local jobs to local people. We're giving the training for the local kids. So if you're a local kid in the area, you know, and you go for a job, there's a chance a student that goes for a job is probably going to get it because they're going to be better educated. So you're always knocked back. So the pub was part of that. Yeah, we want to make money. We want to give training. We want to make a space for different people. And actually, you know, Mike's been great at dragging business people, kicking and screaming. Oh my God, you know, an event was cancelled the other week. And I've heard it so many times, oh, but it's in Moorscombe. It's like, well, you know, it ain't in Scunthorpe. It's a bus ride away, you know, and you won't get eaten alive. You know, it's a really amazing space. So I'd encourage people to always pop up there and see what we've done.
I worked up there, and it's not that far. People can get up there. And tell me about the events that you've got coming up.
Well, I mean, one of the things we have to do is work really hard to make it a success. I mean, you know, tonight will be really busy because it's builders finish work and we'll have a few beers. But we also have to do different things because we're more than a pub. We want to attract different people. So we've got an apple day coming up. So we've been working on this edible pub garden. So some of our regulars have built like raised beds in the garden, and you know, we grew vegetables for them this year, and the vegetables we use in the kitchen. So we've got a space that's very steep and that. We said, one of them said, well, why don't we plant an orchard? So we've teamed up with Brighton Permaculture Trust. We just got a grant off East Brighton Trust, and we're going to plant a mini orchard of Sussex apple trees. We're going to have a tree planting day. Brighton Permaculture Trust are going to bring their juicer. So kids can make apple juice and older residents can make cider. We've got a training kitchen in the pub as well. And there's an amazing woman called Carly North who does cooking all across the estate. And so she does cooking, free cooking lessons for children at the moment at the pub. And she'll be doing, you know, cooking apple cake and teaching kids how to, you know, cook with apples throughout the day. It's all free. And again, it's that different thing. So there'll be a different stuff. You know, we run everything from, we've got disability groups, running club, choir. You know, there's a massive mix of stuff that goes in there. And the Apple Day is just an example of, well, you know, my missus don't drink, but she don't mind going in the pub.
And you've got, I think you've got a chamber event in January as well, or...?
Yeah, I mean, again, that was Mike's doing, really. You know, there's things you never thought you'd be doing, and I never thought I'd be speaking at a Chamber of Commerce event.
Yeah, that's scheduled, I think, for the 12th of January, so all your listeners can come along. I think tickets are really reasonable from the Chamber of Commerce website. There's a guy called Steve Bustin who's going to be interviewing Warren from that perspective. So, you know, again, we'll hear lots and lots about all the other stuff that Warren's involved in as well that he's sort of just touched on there.
And is that's like a breakfast? Is it one of the breakfasts?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's one of their pop-up breakfasts, which they do in various places. I think it starts at about 9 o'clock through to 11 o'clock, so it'll be a great session.
Great. I'll put details in the show copy. If people want to find out more about the pub, what's your website?
Thebevy.co.uk. Yeah.
And what about your site, Mike?
Yeah, if anybody wants to contact me, just go and Google BITC and look for the Connector program. And you can also get hold of me on Twitter at Mike Connector, all one word.
And apart from the great feelings people are going to get, there's a lot of other benefits to businesses, isn't there, to get involved? And
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that great feeling of getting involved as well. It's, you know, it's great corporate social responsibility. You know, the big organisations have proper have very big sort of CSR charters from that perspective. But, you know, local businesses are the ones that can make it. Your small, medium enterprises in and around Brighton, they can really make a difference to these organisations that I'm working with. So please do come and help.
I mean, the other thing is we give them a plug, you know, like Robert, you know, with his recruitment company. We've got 5,000 followers on Twitter and Facebook, and we just plugged him and thanked him and stuff like that to say, you know, like, use this geezer. This geezer stepped out of his way to do stuff for us for free. Mm. Well, use him, you know, if that's the way you are in Brighton, if you feel you should put something back, use the people, the companies that are putting something back, you know.
Brilliant. Mike, Warren, thanks very much for coming in.
Cheers.
Thank you.
To radioreverb.com,
where you can check out our shows and presenters, find out about our events, and about how you can support us and donate some cash.
I've seen it and I'm convinced.
Radioreverb.com. Radioreverb.com.
The place to find out more about Brighton's best radio station.
Best radio station.
This is Radio Reverb. You're listening to the Brighton Business Show, sponsored by Entrepreneurial Spark, the world's largest free business accelerator for early stage and growing ventures. I'm Laura Evans, and we're on 97.2 FM DAB Radio, online at radioreverb.com, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or laura-brighton.podomatic.com. And now it's time for Sophie Turton's regular slot. Sophie, hello.
Hello. Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
And you've come bearing gifts in the form of Tim.
I have, yeah. So I've come with our technical analyst at BosBos. Let him introduce himself.
Yep, I'm Tim Morris, technical analyst at BosBos.
So, Tim, tell me about what you do there.
SEO is one of my primary kind of commitments at BosBos, but I'm an analyst by trade, so anything to do with looking for trends in businesses is my kind of thing.
So I bet you've got some good insight into, like, what's going to be hot next year.
Oh, I hope so. No, I like to analyse people's existing trends. Forecasting things is, I know, I get in trouble.
You have to be very brave to do any forecasting.
Yeah, you really do. Futurology, astrology.
And Sophie, what are we talking about today?
So today I've brought Tim along for a little bit of the technical balance to, I usually wax lyrical about all things to do with communications. So today we're going to talk about SEO for content marketing, to give it a little bit more of that technical balance.
So just a quick reminder for anyone who's not quite sure what SEO is, what exactly is it?
So SEO, search engine optimization, is just kind of the art of trying to get your site, content, whatever it is, to rank on Google or Bing or any search engine, usually Google because that's the biggest one that most people use. So it's often trying to structure your site in a way that the crawlers that the search engines use can go on your site, look at all of your material, get to every part of your site and understand exactly what it's for.
And it's kind of a big deal, isn't it?
Very big deal. I mean, it is just trying to get your site there. So when anybody does a Google search for something related to what your business is about, they see it in that search result. It's as simple as that, but that simplicity is its strength. You want to be there, number one, ideally. Huge deal for a business, could bring in a lot of business for them.
Who goes to like page 3 or 4 that often? They don't.
So I think really most people don't go past page 1.
No, not at all for most searches.
Exactly. And are we going to kind of go with an angle today? Are we talking about kind of copywriting for SEO or?
So we're going to discuss sort of the difference between writing for people and writing for robots. And I'll let Tim explain in a minute what writing for robots actually means. But obviously, as you know, I'm a copywriter across all different types of content. And so we talk quite a lot in the office about, you know, what is more valuable? Should we be writing for Google search engine or should we be writing for people? So we're going to have a little discussion about which one of those is the thing you should be concentrating most of your energy on when you're doing your own content marketing.
I mean, I like people and I like robots, but Tim, which is better?
Humans. People are better, clearly. I like to think that we should almost treat the robots as humans these days. There's been a bit of a stereotype of the SEO in the past that they were almost robots themselves. They would come to you with this list of synonyms and related words and they just machine gun them off at you. The old joke of an SEO walks into a bar, grill, public house, pub. and that's kind of changed. It's changed recently and you can focus on the human. So yeah, that's the focus these days.
It makes our jobs easier and it kind of translates a lot more into what traditional marketing is all about. And I know a lot of traditional marketers that do have a problem with digital marketing because they see that it's almost stripping away the personal approach and that it's looking specifically at numbers and, you know, keyword densified copy that doesn't actually really add value. It's just there to show up in the search. And now a lot of it is about understanding who your customer is, who you're talking to on a much more personal level, why they should care about what you have to say, what you want them to do with that message. And when you start a piece of content, instead of kind of starting with doing your keyword research and forming the content around that, the idea is that, you know, if you're talking authentically and you're talking like you're talking in a conversation, that the keywords that people will be searching for will show up anyway because that's the language that people are using. And if you're a good content writer, you will be writing in the language of your audience anyway. So it's kind of almost stripping back that very sort of methodical, not particularly useful or relevant, or, I mean, very relevant, but not particularly authentic kind of way of writing.
Yeah, it's become Google's aim to serve the human interest there. So they're trying to, from a business owner's perspective, take away any effort that business owner has to do to appeal to the robots. So it is making it more natural for any writer of content.
And so should people be should businesses be putting blogs on their website, extra pages, things? What's some of the kind of the insider tips that you've got?
I think absolutely. A blog is a really useful thing. It's got two different ways that you can talk about things. There are, as we're going to talk about, sugar rush content and evergreen content. And we like to think that that's the sugar rush content is when there's a trend or a bit of news, you're doing some kind of update, you put something out there to try and get a little surge of traffic, the sugar rush. And then evergreen content, that's the one that's really valuable for SEO, where you put something up like a resource or a guide or even like a PDF white paper. Use your expertise, something you think your customers will find useful. Obviously not putting too much out there. You want to kind of lure them in, see what you're worthwhile for your services. But that kind of content you can really rank for. And also that's, you can push it on social as well, and that's how you drive the traffic to those pages, give them a bit of a kickstart, get people linking to them, talking about them, and then hopefully your blog will actually start ranking organically for those kinds of terms. And they can be about, you're trying to solve a problem for a user, and perhaps whatever your business service does for that user, you could answer that question through some kind of resource, and that'd be what they're searching for, and that's how you appear on those search engine results.
And some companies would put like that behind a wall and collect data for people to access it. Mm-hmm. But that surely is going to be detrimental to how much it can be shared. So what's your kind of approach to that?
Yeah, it can be detrimental. Obviously, if you're hiding the content, it's not being crawled, so the search engines aren't going to find it. But there's so many ways around that. You can put snippets on, you can put part of it behind a wall of some kind, or you could do a series that the first post is online, the rest is you have to give your email address, and you start to build a mailing list out of that. There are lots of ways around that. I think, to be honest, my preferred way is kind of like online courses or online updates, like a newsletter, because in that way you don't need to get the user to commit to buying your product. They can just sign up for a newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think generally we wouldn't ask for people to give their details without giving something back. Hmm. I think that's the way that we should. I think that's the way we should view content of all types. It's not just about you. It's not just about showcasing your expertise. It's actually giving something back to your audience.
Yeah.
When you say evergreen content, what is that?
In the same way that sugar rush is a quick surge, a sugar rush, the evergreen content is content that stays valuable throughout time. So it's not going to be something based on a trend. It's going to be something that has value no matter how much time has passed. So a resource, depending on what your business does, could be really useful.
I guess a good example of the two could be an evergreen content could be a guide on, you know, how to, for example, financial tips on starting a business. So what you need to learn, what you need to get in a finance way of setting up your business. And then the sugar rush version of that could be sort of 10 tips we can learn from Donald Trump about finance for a business. Yep. So it's exactly. Funny, you know, it's the kind of the two things. One is capitalizing on the trends and capitalizing on the search term of Donald Trump. The other one is there that will be kind of building value over time, but that can be applied the same way in a year's time as it could be today. But by that point, it will have already gathered enough equity within Google to show up more on the search.
So maybe people need to be very aware of like what's going on and what kind of, you know, when you have those, this is like National Biscuit Day or something, being aware yeah. of those things that are coming up and how you might be able to use them, how it might fit with your customer base yeah. and brand, and seeing what hashtags they're using, I suppose. Because like you say, there's a lot to socially kind of, what kind of social leverage you can get out of that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for immediate brand engagement and brand awareness, then that is where Sugar Rush content comes in and provides value. And again, with all sorts of things to do with marketing, it's always about being aware of what's on trend at the moment. And that's also because you're then understanding what your audience actually care about. And generally, things are trending because that's what people are talking about, that's what they care about. And it's important to use that within your marketing efforts. But then from an SEO perspective, from a sort of then driving actually valuable leads to your business, the evergreen content are the things that people are going to be accessing because they actually care about the thing that your business can offer. The other side of it is probably a lot more, you know, you could probably be getting people from all kind of areas that wouldn't necessarily be your target audience clicking on the more sugar rush content.
Not from one of our clients, but another post that I've seen that performed particularly well was when The Hobbit was coming around again. Doing a finance post based on a dragon from The Hobbit. What
Smaug.
Was his name? Smaug. On the value of his hoard and then, like, the accountancy implications of that hoard. What would be worth having that hoard? So that did really well. That got a lot of engagement.
And that would be a good example of how that it got a lot of engagement. But if we talk about it from a sort of sales qualified lead, the majority wouldn't have actually then gone on to explore the rest of the website because they didn't really care about the offering of yeah. the business. It was more that they cared about Smaug and they were interested to see this kind of hypothetical, you know, if, you know, how much money would be given to. Is it Middle Earth?
Yeah.
Yes. not so much of a super geek, but you should know this.
I should. It's my mind blanked.
This sugar rush is a new term for me, I like it. It's like brand awareness stuff, yeah, and getting absolutely. Yourself out there and maybe just getting some numbers up, because there's got to still be some worth with the algorithm of just having a lot of visits.
Yeah.
And shares and things like that. And then this evergreen content is about actual lead conversion. There's got to be a point there somewhere where you're putting some kind of call to action as well in that copy. And
yeah, generally with evergreen content, we generally would. So that would be kind of to learn more about X, speak to, or, you know, visit our contact page or call this number. And even with the more sugar rushy content, it would be, it's all about kind of interlinking between content too. So we might then want to see if these people are potentially going to be more qualified leads. And so therefore we might give them a call to action to look at another piece of content that is a lot more geared towards what we know our customers are actually going to be interested in, and we will then be able to understand a lot better by a several fandanglement intelligent tools of you know how many people came from to this web this article who were then interested in going to another article. And it's a bit more of a softer approach than that kind of hardcore now buy our product, go to this contact page kind of approach.
So you're really thinking about the customer journey there, and you're kind of helping them to qualify themselves out a little bit.
Yeah, and allowing us to understand a lot better about the type of content that not only performs well, but the type of content that will then bring in the kind of audience that we're looking to attract, and what that audience then does once it's on site, and how we can optimise that journey and essentially turn those leads into sales.
There's always trends to pick up on and write about, and evergreen content you can think about. But a great starting place for creating content is to go and look at what you've already created through analysis and see which ones you should capitalise on.
Yeah. Any top tech tips, Tim?
Top tech tips? Well, I could get very technical, but on
go
the...
Go on, Tim. Go on. What's your most technical tip?
I'll go... There's a sliding scale here. So to me, when you're pushing these things on social, or maybe just your article has gotten someone's attention and they want to put it on social themselves, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, then you've got to have a good image on the post. That's just a basic rule. A good, nice, engaging image to go along with your engaging title. But going really technical, nowadays it's possible to actually tag your website with a tag that contains a link to a bigger image than would normally be visible on the social platforms. It's called Open Graph, and it was developed by Twitter and Facebook. And if you put these Open Graph tags on your site, you can actually get the snippet when someone shares to be even bigger and more obvious than anybody else's. So somebody's on their Facebook stream, they're looking at all these other links people have shared with these small images and small titles, and then along comes yours, and it's just so much bigger and more obvious and flashier. That's the kind of the cutting edge right now. People are starting to get more and more into that, and businesses are picking up these much nicer social sharing snippets. And it's anybody sharing a link from your site will get the benefit of that if you've got that image hidden behind the scenes, ready and waiting for them to share your content.
Go big.
Yeah.
Or go home.
Or go home.
Brilliant. Well, Sophie, Tim, thank you for coming in, and
thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I'll see you next month.
Excellent.
There are lots of ways to listen to us.
In Brighton and Hove on 97.2 FM. Online, radioreverb.com.
Or via TuneIn on Radio Player apps.
Digital radio in Brighton. Flick past the other boring stations and select Radio Reverb.
You've been listening to the Brighton Business Show with Laura Evans on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB Radio or online at radioreverb.com. Or by podcast, search iTunes or visit laura-brighton.podomatic.com to hear previous shows and interviews, pick up advice, tips and the inside track on local organisations, meetups and schemes that you could be using. And you can subscribe there so you can listen to all the future shows too. Thanks to today's guests and contributors and to our sponsor. Check out the show page for all the details. Thanks for listening and catch you next month.
Streamline Taxis 2020. We've been here 80 years, now supporting Radio Reverb.